Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, coming off a second straight impressive showing by the Grizzlies in Minnesota, certainly to keep the preseason going along as strongly as ever. Certainly some great showings last night by the Grizzlies. They sweep the Timberwolves to open up their preseason, and while the games may not count, there certainly is plenty of relevant things to take away from these two games, and that will be the big part of our show. We're going to start the show off with a little bit of news that came out today in regards to the Grizzlies. Go talk about some high points, you know, from last night's game. And then the second and third segment, we know about Ja and we know about Jonas. Those are the two staples, obviously, of the Grizzlies starting lineup. And in the second and third segments, we're going to talk about Kyle and Dylan and how they have really impressed in unexpected ways to start out the preseason, as well as what makes sense for the Grizzlies at the two guard spot. You can find the show at Locked On Grizzlies, myself at StatsSAC. You can follow the podcast wherever podcasts are available: Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, podcast app on your phone. Wherever you choose to listen to your podcast, Locked On Grizzlies is certainly going to be there. And we ask that you get locked in to listening to it consistently. Listen, subscribe, review. Let us know what you think of the show. Allow for us to know some things that you might like to be discussed. We always want to make sure that our content is meeting our listeners' preferences. And my name is Sean Coleman. If you are someone who's just recently started listening to the show, first off, welcome and thank you for your support. Obviously, there's a lot that goes into this show, but I love doing every single minute of it. The prep work, the show itself, obviously being able to talk about my passions when it comes to the Grizzlies, the NBA sports. Now, I write over at Grizzly Bear Blues, have done that for about 2.5 years now with a wonderful family of writers and talents that are over there. Been podcasting for about 2 years, just love covering the Grizzlies and mainly interacting with other people who share the same passions as I do. So thank you for being a part of this, and let's get right down to it. So we'll start the show off with the news that came out today. Obviously, when it comes to the Grizzlies, that we were waiting to see how the shoes would start to drop as far as completing the roster. And of course, you know, we had talked about in previous episodes over the past 10 days that it looked like with 17 players who were signed for 15 roster spots, Marko Kuduric and Mario Hezonja were going to be the players that were likely going to be waived. Well, Mario was waived last week. Well, then today, as they say, the other shoe dropped, and Marko Kuduric was waived from his Grizzlies contract. Not sure of what the future holds for him. Just not a lot. He got some opportunity to begin the year last year, but just not a lot of opportunity to capitalize on it. Didn't really fit Taylor Jenkins' preferences as far as, you know, being able to shoot but adding value outside of that. So his one-year experiment with the Grizzlies is over. Wish you the best of luck. Hopefully he'll be able to find something that makes sense elsewhere. Maybe he gets an opportunity, you know, here in the U.S. I would say with his European roots, so it's more than likely he goes and finds opportunity overseas. Jahlil Tripp was the fifth name that was involved with the Grizzlies on draft night. He was signed an Exhibit 10 contract. The hope was that he would be able to, you know, be on the hustle, be a part of that team. But actually, the Grizzlies made a few signings today that they felt allowed for them to be able to not only bring a familiar face back, but also bring in kind of a lottery ticket, a former first-round overall pick. Zaire Smith was signed today to a contract with the Hustle, as long as Benny Boatwright was. You know, those are two players who were brought in to really fill out the G League roster for the Memphis Hustle. Now, there's not, with these four names involved, there's nothing significant here or nothing to really put emphasis on as far as being a good bet to mean something for the Grizzlies down the road. But signing Zaire Smith is something that certainly is significant because it allows the Grizzlies to take on another lottery ticket, another opportunity, just like they did, for instance, with Josh Jackson last year, taking on a name. Now, Zaire Smith doesn't have the troubling aspect like to his career like Josh Jackson did. It just hasn't clicked for him yet. Due to opportunity, injury, whatever it may be, he is someone that was looked upon as being a potential lottery pick, you know, a few years ago, and this time around he's been signed by the Grizzlies. Though he is going to play for the Hustle, he is another lottery ticket that the Grizzlies now have within their control that they could potentially give him some opportunity to see how he develops in their system and really hope that he could be something that emerges. Obviously, there's no risk in signing him. So if he doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But if they do sign him, then this could be another opportunity for the Grizzlies to add a very valuable piece, you know, to, you know, the potential options for their roster in the future. So a great signing. Again, as we've talked about, the creativity from the top to the bottom when it comes to the Grizzlies, that's what has allowed for them to continue to hit home run after home run with these moves. Not saying this is necessarily a home run, but there's no risk involved in seeing if it potentially could be something significant down the road. So that another thing to talk about that, you know, many may not think is significant, but it certainly is something that's relevant and at the very least is something that's overwhelmingly positive, and that's the Grizzlies' performance in Minnesota over the past two games. Last night, a much more convincing victory than game one. Ja Morant again looked like he was the best talent on the court. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I'll sit here and make the argument all day long. Carl Anthony Towns is currently a more impactful player than Ja Morant, but Ja Morant could really look like he was the best talent on the court. And one thing that really is starting to emerge about his game, I asked Coach Jenkins, and Ja was asked this last night, was that a few days ago, Coach Jenkins talked about wanting Ja to make effective decisions earlier in the process of a play being ran. Well, last night, as Ja himself mentioned, he feels more comfortable. The game has slowed down for him, and he has the ability now to kind of see the play develop before it actually does, and that obviously led to just effective play after effective play after effective play. Every time Ja got into the lane at the free throw line, it seemed like every single time the Grizzlies had success. Either he made a shot, he made a dumb pass off to someone rolling to the basket, or was able to find an outside shooter for a good look. If the Grizzlies can consistently allow Ja to do that, that's going to bring this offense the consistency that it needs to really be able to still produce good results, even without Jaren and Justice gone. But another thing about it, I asked Jonas Valanciunas about this, is of course the chemistry that Ja has with his players. It really seems like with his other starters, Ja has an understanding with them of what's going to happen. They can read each other based off their moves without giving away what they're going to do, and that's because of continuity. It's because of chemistry, and that's the type of thing really that allows for the Grizzlies to continue to move forward, not only with the depth that they have, but with the familiarity of playing with each other since a lot of the depth came back from last year. So just some really encouraging signs that Ja is going to continue to improve, take the next steps he needs to. Obviously, we would love to see the shot become consistent as well. There are indications that that's on the way, but his ability to truly be a playmaker and not just be a playmaker with what's given to him, but forcing the issue and creating more effective or higher percentage shots at the basket, in the lane, and outside is certainly a great development to see for the Grizzlies. Up and down the roster, though, the playmaking was certainly there. That's been a huge, huge focus of Coach Taylor Jenkins, was the playmaking ability of the Grizzlies roster as a whole. 30 assists game one, 29 assists game two. Great production from the Grizzlies in moving the ball around to find the open shooter. And the other thing is that on defense, the Grizzlies forced 48 turnovers. The Grizzlies made the Timberwolves turn the ball over on an average of 24 times over these two games. Now again, it's the preseason. Let's be honest, the Timberwolves are not near the most talented team in the league, and it's probably going to take them a while to get going. But the fact that the Grizzlies forced 48 turnovers, and from those 48 turnovers, gained 48 extra points, is certainly a big development. And they also were able to limit Karl Anthony Towns' production. He was 7 of 25 from the field in these two games. Again, there's pretty, you know, this is the regular season, it's probably a different story, but Karl Anthony Towns did, you know, have a bit of struggle getting his groove going and finding his shot. So again, as we've talked about, if the Grizzlies can be opportunistic with their defense, leading to fast break opportunities and high percentage shots before the defense gets set on the way back after a good defensive possession on their end, and they can do a good job of limiting the other team's primary option, that's going to go a long way to help their defense. So obviously, the performance of Ja was just awesome to see. Again, him emerging in a situation where he clearly, you know, where we hoped he would look good. He looked like the best player on the court, and also, the starters' chemistry is certainly there, but the depth the ability for the Grizzlies' depth to add value in multiple ways, as well as some encouraging signs from the defense. Those are some key takeaways that really stand out and are really encouraging. Though it's only two games, those are a lot of more positive takeaways than, you know, to be honest, I thought I'd be looking at. But going into the series against Atlanta to end the preseason, those are certainly creating a high wave to ride in on, and hopefully the Grizzlies will continue to take advantage. But we know that Ja and Jonas are going to be our two key cogs to really be consistent when it comes to the Grizzlies' start of the season. However, both Dylan Brooks and Kyle Anderson are going to play critical roles as well. Why these two games really brought to light some ability for them to add ways in which they can add value on the court. A lot of positive results from their first two games. We'll break it down after the break. This episode is brought to you by 1010. Now, you may have read about this in the New York Times or Forbes, and we're excited to tell you about it. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com, and when they're gone, they're gone. We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people. And with 1010, it's been beautifully revisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds. If you're making 2021 plans or looking for a unique and meaningful way to celebrate Valentine's Day, you're definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this exciting limited collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. The start of the season begins a week from tomorrow, and to get you ready for the start of the season, I'm going to be very happy to welcome some of the more well-known names around the Memphis market when it comes to covering the Grizzlies. Joe Molinax of Grizzly Bear Blues, Evan Barnes of the Commercial Appeal, and Drew Hill of the Daily Memphian will all be joining me for season reviews in the coming days, starting with Joe Molinax coming on for our Thursday episode. Always love speaking with these great minds and great folks who work hard, just as I do here, covering the Grizzlies and working at their passion, you know, when it comes to writing, blogging, whatever they may do. But some of the better minds around Memphis basketball giving their perspective on the season outlook for the Grizzlies. Really excited to speak with all three of them, and really looking forward to getting us started with Joe on Thursday. So we talked about Ja and we talked about Jonas. Two of them, both have had very good games. Jonas especially stood out with getting over 20 points, getting 5 assists in last night's contest. But the thing about it is this. We know, everyone knows, that for the Grizzlies to have success to begin the season with Justice Winslow and Jaren Jackson Jr. out, that Ja and Jonas are going to have to play to their level. They're going to have to consistently play to the best of their ability. However, we also know that it's more than likely going to be Dylan Brooks in the starting lineup. And though I mentioned I really would like to see Brandon Clark get some run at the four position as a starter, it seems as if injury, not necessarily concerns, but a bit of precautionary, you know, handling of, you know, an injury that he's dealing with will likely keep him out maybe for the entire preseason. And so therefore, the thought it looks like that it's going to be Kyle Anderson who starts at the four. Now, the decision on starting Dylan and Kyle, it makes sense. It may not be as exciting as other options, like maybe starting Desmond Bane or Brandon Clark or others, but one of the biggest reasons why Kyle Anderson and Dylan Brooks are looked at as starters is because of where they are in their careers in their fourth and seventh year, and you also know what they are. They're you know, Kyle Anderson is obviously known for his facilitation and his defense, and Dylan is the one true talent on the Grizzlies right now who can in some way, shape, or form find his shot consistently. Well, the great thing is that we know what both of those players can contribute, and at times they certainly add value. But the thing about it is that in these first two preseason games, we've seen other ways that both Kyle Anderson and Dylan Brooks have really been able to create opportunities to allow for themselves to add value in needed ways that will really help the Grizzlies continue to stay consistent. For Dylan, it's the fact that he has 9 assists to 1 turnover over the last two games. And in the first game, he was 2 from 12 from the field. Now, yesterday, A big benefit for the Grizzlies was that we got good Dillon in terms of his scoring. But 5 assists in game one, 4 assists in game two. And the thing about it is that Dillon talked about this before the season. He talked about the fact that up in Canada when he was training in the offseason, he really focused on his ball handling and his, you know, IQ when it comes to finding playmaking opportunities. And it showed pretty consistently in these games. So if his shot's not falling, we already know that he's going to get, you know, a few rebounds a game. He's going to take on tough defensive matchups with aggressiveness. But if he can find ways to continue to be a playmaker, that is the way. You know, I talked about it when I talked about last week, the areas of improvement for the Grizzlies. One of the things that I mentioned was beyond the fouls, beyond the turnovers, was Dillon's decision making. Not having 5 to 7 instances a night where he just forces a bad shot and it's a wasted possession for the Grizzlies, just like a turnover. Well, instead of that occurring on a more frequent basis, it seems that it has, you know, settled in with Dillon to find opportunities to get better shots through passing the ball to teammates, and that truly is shown through in the first couple of games. So just a great development for Dillon. I just think it's a part of his game. He's going to be a streaky shooter, but if he can at least consistently find 3 to 5, you know, assist opportunities, and he could have had more if some of those shots had fallen, but if Dillon can produce 3 to 5 assists tonight, that's a big step forward, because that's potentially another 2 to 3 buckets with our starters on the court that really can allow for the Grizzlies to stay with some of the better starting units that are in the NBA. For Kyle Anderson, we know that he can pass, and we know that he can defend. 4 blocks in the first game, 8 rebounds in the second game. His across-the-board production is always eye-opening when you really look at what he can offer. But Kyle Anderson also talked about it in the preseason as well. Last year, towards the beginning of March, he finally started feeling healthy again and really got an understanding of what Coach Taylor Jenkins wanted for him as far as his role with the team. Well, from March on through the end of the year through the bubble, those included the 5 times that Kyle Anderson was able to hit 2 or more threes in the game. His 3-point shooting significantly improved once the calendar hit March through the bubble, and now we've seen that he's now at 4 of 9 from a 3 to start the preseason. So if Kyle Anderson can become somewhat reliable as a corner 3-point option, that is going to be a wonderful development for the Grizzlies, because as we saw with Ja being able to get into the lane, the defenses are certainly going to go towards Ja to prevent him from scoring. But if that leaves, and they're obviously going to leave Kyle open of any of the other Grizzlies options. So if Kyle's left open and Ja can consistently get him the ball for 2 or 3 good looks, especially to start the game, if Kyle can at least knock down one of those, that certainly is a development, and it's certainly a positive development, because it allows for the Grizzlies to keep him on the floor knowing that he can get an open shot if it's created off the schemes and strategies of Ja's elite ability to get into the lane. So the ability for Dillon to continue as a playmaker and the ability for Kyle to be able to potentially be a consistent scorer and shooter, you know, the surprising thing about Kyle Anderson is that he has consistently, I won't say consistently, I'll say he has surprised me with how frequently, when he's been healthy, that he can get into the lane with that Euro step. Now, as I've joked before, for most folks, they go through that Euro step, you count to 2 and they're done. With Kyle, it takes 5 minutes for it to happen, but that's a compliment to him. He throws off the timing of the defense because of the slow motion type approach that he takes, but it's highly effective. And it's because of his IQ, he either is going to create the shot that will fall or be able to find dump-off opportunities. That's why him and Jonas, their connection that we saw really emerge in the bubble, that could be another way for this offense to stay consistent as the season goes along. So the added playmaking of Dillon Brooks to his ability to shoot, and the added ability of Kyle Anderson to be able to be a reliable shooter, you know, when he has open opportunities next to his facilitation and defense, those are ways in which both Kyle and Dillon have found ways to add another element to their game that will allow for them to be consistently valuable if one of their strengths is off. On nights that Dillon may not be shooting well, if he can pass out 5 assists, that certainly continues to allow for him to add value. If Kyle's not finding a lot of passing opportunities, people are leaving him open for shots. Him knocking down those shots obviously allows for him to add value. So the ability for Kyle and Dillon to consistently have multiple ways in which they can have value, game in and game out, that's going to be a huge development for Memphis. Even when Jaren and Justice come back, that still is going to be a big component and what's going to really allow for the Grizzlies to find their consistency in producing positive possessions on both ends of the court that they're really going to need to be able to make their desired playoff run. But beyond that, we know the four likely starters to start the season. What about the two guard? What about the other member of the perimeter who will be out there with Dillon and Ja to start games? Coming up, I'll discuss the Grizzlies' options that they've looked at and why one does make sense over the other. Life can be stressful even under the most normal of circumstances. However, 2020 has challenged even the most difficult of times in our lives. You need stress relief that goes beyond quick fixes. That's Headspace. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in an easy-to-use app. It's one of the only meditation apps advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. Whatever the situation, Headspace really can make you feel better. Overwhelmed? Need some help falling asleep? Headspace has the ability to help your mindfulness in these situations by helping you reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. Headspace is backed by 25 published studies on its benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. Headspace makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is a meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/lockedonNBA. That's headspace.com/lockedonNBA for a free one-month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal offered right now. Head to headspace.com/lockedonNBA today to get your one-month free trial at Headspace. NBA fans, listen up. The Locked On NBA podcast is getting you ready for the start of the regular season with a special week of team preview podcasts all this week, plus waiver wire additions from Locked On Fantasy Basketball and rookies to watch from draft guru Chad Ford. I'll be tuning in for the preview of Locked On Grizzlies. Subscribe to Locked On NBA wherever you get your podcasts today. Welcome back to Locked On Grizzlies. So we've talked about the starting lineup when it comes to the four positions that we have a good idea of who the starter will be. Ja, obviously a point guard, Dillon at the three, Kyle Anderson at the four, and Jonas at the five. But the one position that kind of has been thought to be a potential area for musical chairs based on matchup, and I still think that could be the case, is certainly the two-guard position. The backcourt mate of Ja Morant and the other part of the trio of perimeter players for the Grizzlies with Dillon Brooks and Ja. So obviously Grayson started the first game. And in the first game, Grayson struggled, you know, in his ability to shoot. The Grizzlies starter struggled overall. Yet De'Anthony Melton did have a good game, especially when it came to finding his shot from distance. He was 1 from 5 in the first game. But the big thing about it is that he was finding ways to create his own shot. And that continued into the second game. There were a couple of instances where De'Anthony Melton used some very good moves, some moves we did not see from him last year consistently, to find his own shot. And he certainly has showed encouraging signs to his ability to shoot, much like he did in the three scrimmages in the bubble. He showed that he does have the ability to hit open shots and has a little bit of ability to create his own shot, you know, when he's given the opportunity. But the big thing about it with De'Anthony Melton and Grayson Allen is that I think the reason why you start De'Anthony and you have Grayson play with Tyus Jones and Brandon Clark is the extra value that De'Anthony adds as a two-way player. With De'Anthony Melton, obviously, the net value impact is certainly there. It is significantly better than Grayson because he's a better playmaker on both sides of the ball, and he also is an overall better defender, obviously. With Grayson, the reason why he's kind of in this running is because of, you know, yes, it was his bubble performance, but because he arguably could be the Grizzlies' best movement shooter. What I mean by that is recognizing what the defense is throwing at the Grizzlies, being able to find the soft spot in the defense, kind of like a receiver finding the soft spot to accept the pass. Well, that's exactly, in football, that's exactly what Grayson Allen is doing. He will be able to move around the perimeter, find the soft spot based on how the defense rotates, and be open for a catch-and-shoot opportunity. But the thing is, though, is that I think that with the Grizzlies, they do want that shooting to be out there for Ja and others when it comes to their playmaking. But if Kyle Anderson and D'Anthony Melton, and we've been through this before, we were hoping to see them really build off those scrimmages in the bubble into the games that counted in the bubble. And while there was a little bit of positive results from Kyle, D'Anthony Melton certainly struggled. But if D'Anthony Melton and Kyle can show any type of ability to be reliable from distance on their shots, they truly do make the difference as the starters. They should be implemented in the starting role because of their ability to add value in other ways. D'Anthony Melton is a secondary option, such a good rebounder as a guard, he can get started on the fast break. D'Anthony Melton adds a lot of value because we know that the Grizzlies are at their strongest when they're out on the fast break. Well, due to D'Anthony Melton's playmaking ability on defense to create turnovers and his ability to rebound as a guard, he also has the capability to really be effective as a ball handler in transition. Having all those capabilities in one player is really beneficial for the Grizzlies starting lineup, but it also really helps out the Grizzlies perimeter defense with Kyle and Dylan and D'Anthony Melton. It allows for the Grizzlies to be able to switch comfortably and also to have multiple defenders that they could probably like in good situations to limit the opposition's look from three. That's what killed the Grizzlies last year at times. They just could not stop the three, though they were getting a high percentage amount of twos, and the three wound up beating them in the long run. What the Grizzlies can, if the Grizzlies can implement the trio of Dylan, D'Anthony, and Kyle Anderson to be out on the perimeter to limit other teams' threes, that really is a big development. So at the end of the day, Grayson, I think, certainly offers better shooting upside, and we all know how much of a preference that is for Taylor Jenkins, but it's hard to deny the net overall value that D'Anthony Melton provides, that added positive value that him and Kyle Anderson, there was a reason why they were a part of so many of the Grizzlies' best net positive value lineups last year. Because of what they do across, because of the fact that they do something, the fact that they are very intelligent when it comes to defense, and that they can add value in multiple ways outside of just scoring. And the great thing about it is that if Grayson is not a starter, well, then you get the element of what he added in the bubble with his shooting to now having him paired with a healthy Tyus Jones as well as Brandon Clark. I asked Tyus Jones about and Grayson about that yesterday. The trio of them playing together potentially on the Grizzlies bench, and both Tyus and Grayson, they thought it was phenomenal. They know how potentially beneficial and advantageous that trio could be off the bench, and they were certainly both open for it. As Grayson Allen mentioned yesterday, it's clear he has found his niche. He has found where he adds value, and that's being a consistent catch-and-shoot option from three. If the Grizzlies can add that to the efficiency of Tyus Jones and Brandon Clark, we legitimately have the ability to stay consistent as one of the best benches in the NBA. And as we saw last year, with a starting lineup that still was working itself up through the ranks, still likely is considered to be a below-average starting lineup into this year, the stronger the bench that we have and the better we utilize our depth, the more consistent we will be able to stay in games, keep leads, regain leads. All those things involved come from having really effective depth. So allowing for Grayson to really be the sharpshooter on the second unit with the efficiency of Clark and Tyus Jones as well as others, that is a huge, huge development, a really positive development for the Grizzlies. So I think that the two-guard position has kind of ironed itself out, I think, with the commitment that they made to Melton with his play last year, and again, the ways that he can add value in ways that, Grayson just cannot at this point, or at least to the level of D'Anthony. I think that it makes sense for the Grizzlies to start D'Anthony and then bring Grayson off the bench. At the end of the day, if Desmond Bane is showing quite well in his, limited minutes to begin, that could be another possibility. But for right now, start D'Anthony, let Grayson really add success to that bench unit, and just ride the wave of positivity, because your starting lineup is stronger defensively, your starting lineup plays to your strengths more with Melton in the lineup, and then when you get into the second unit, you now have the versatility of the efficiency of Tyus Jones and Brandon Clark, and the shooting ability of Grayson Allen. I think this is the best way to maximize both the first and the second units for the Grizzlies, and really feel featured the strengths of their plethora of depth talents and really helped them when it comes to both their defense and their shooting. Obviously, it's been a fun day. The Grizzlies are going to get going again this week in what should be some really fun matchups between Ja and Trey, two of the best young teams in the NBA, or most exciting young teams at least, when it comes to their cores. Check it out. We'll talk about the Hawks, what to look for in those preseason matchups tomorrow. As I mentioned, on Thursday, we'll have Joe Mullinax and a few other folks, well-known folks around Memphis, who will be on the show doing season outlooks with me before we get the season started off a week from tomorrow. But until next time, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC. You can find the podcast, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the podcast app on your phone, wherever you listen to your podcast. Listen to us. Rate, review, subscribe. Let us know how you feel. We always love to hear from our listeners. Until next time, my name's Sean Coleman, and we'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Have a great day.